You're listening to the Life on Target podcast with me, your host, Nathan Spearing. And today I'm going to give you some practical tips on raising daughters and expand that into just generally raising kids and running your household. Hopefully this will be a value for those of you that don't have daughters and or aren't married yet. But here we go. Monday morning, my 11-year-old, about to be 12-year-old daughter was really struggling with her attitude. A couple different things didn't go the way that she wanted them to go. And she was letting the world know, and her face was contorted. I disciplined her for the first incident, the first thing that she was upset about. Things kind of sometimes, as they tend to do with her, snowballed, and things were kind of getting worse. And I didn't feel like I was winning my daughter's heart. So when these kind of things happen, sometimes I'll just take a pause and phone a friend, throw a lifeline out there. I walked inside the bus. Yeah, we live in a bus. You have to go back a couple episodes and get caught up on that if this is your first time hearing that. But I walked into the bus and I just said, kind of gave the widened eye face, like, what the heck? And my wife, coincidentally, is reading Loving the Little Years. And I'll post a link to that in the bio. It's rereading it, and a good way to maybe, men, buy that book for your wives, especially as they're struggling through in the trenches of raising toddlers and raising young children that kind of need everything from them every 5 seconds. But she mentioned to me that the author shared that as parents, our job is not to discipline our children and make them sin less, as in not having any sin. But our job is to point them with discipline sometimes toward the law and the will of God and loving obedience and loving his word, loving his law. And for me, that was a tidbit of wisdom at the perfect time as I was practically struggling with pointing my daughter toward loving the word of God, toward loving God's law in a time where she was kind of emotionally not together. And so I was able to kind of step back outside and engage her again. And what I did right then and there, and this is one reason why I love owning my own business. I love being an entrepreneur. I love having control over 100% of my time all the time in some ways. I decided that getting to the office, making the Monday morning meeting, getting things going, that all that it was going to have to take a back seat temporarily. And I decided to move things around and do breakfast with my daughter. And coincidentally, not surprisingly, my 8-year-old daughter started to have some issues with her attitude about something. And it was coming off of a long Sabbath day of hanging out with our friends, going out to lunch with people, evening church, getting back tired and exhausted from a Sabbath day at 10 p.m. So there's some biological things happening with less sleep and maybe a little bit of sugar that they normally wouldn't have had, etc. That's all needs to be into consideration. That's not an excuse to not obey. But anyway, decided to take both my daughters to breakfast instead of getting to the hustle and bustle of the office. And it's an incredible thing to be able to do as a man running my household, to say, the devil is having a heyday here with my family. And guess what? That's the priority, is me to do war on this front, me to be responsible, take responsibility for my daughter's attitudes, for their character, and give a little bit of extra time and effort towards that instead of being pulled down the professional road of things. And men, that is going to be an easy tendency. Things start to get a little bit haywire and you to just say, I'm going to go to the office because I can control the office a lot better. The rules are a lot more set out. People act a certain way. I know what's expected of me. It's more tangible what I actually get to do. And I'll just let my wife handle this daughter of mine that's got a bad attitude, or this both of these daughters of mine that have a bad attitude. And you got this, girl. Cultivate this home and make it happen. And I'm out. I'm going to work. I gotta put bread on the table, girl. I gotta make that money. That's my responsibility. I'm out. No, you're responsible for everything that happens in your home, and not just how your boys turn out and how your boys are, if they're tough and if they understand how to respect women and they understand how to protect and rule over their emotions and their bodies. No, you have to train, and you are responsible for your wife and your daughters in the same way. And God's not going to say, hey, how'd you do with your boys? And then go down the line and say to your wife, okay, how'd you do with the girls? And no, you're responsible for the spiritual welfare of your home. You're responsible to take care of all of it. And you don't get to say, oh, breadwinning is more important at this point. I'm out. Now, I understand that not all of y'all are going to be entrepreneurs. Not all of y'all have the ability to just move the 9 a.m. meeting because they all work for you and you get to say that. Maybe you should be looking to try to get to that point. And we've talked about having agency and having things in control and being in control of your life. Maybe you should be doing that, but I understand that's maybe not where you are right now. And you may have to address it, hit pause on it. You may have to close it out quickly with your daughter. You may have to look her in the eyes and say, hey, we're going to deal with this in a little bit. I'm going to be praying for you, and maybe be a little bit late. Maybe you can push it. You can text your boss, hey, something came up. I got to take care of this, whatever. And if you're outperforming all the heathens in your office and you're crushing it, then you have some latitude to do some of that where maybe some of your colleagues don't have that latitude. Anyway, so I decided to scrap the morning plans in lieu of engaging with my daughters and coaching them through this time and this lack of contentment, essentially what we drilled down on. So got in the car, pulled up my iPhone, got the open the Canon Plus app. I'll link to that. It's not a sponsored podcast. This is just literally what I did this morning. And I knew the way that the volume of resources they have in the Canon Plus app and the way that they organize it, that there was going to be something there for me. And so, not surprisingly, scrolled down. There's a topical kind of selection there. I clicked on women and I started reading the titles there. And I think it was the second or third title that was there that was Learning Contentment, A Study for Women of All Ages by Nancy Wilson. Bingo. Bluetooth connects to the car, and I hit play on that. My daughters are there. I said, hey, we're going to listen to this on the way there, and we're going to talk about it. And Nancy, Miss Wilson, opens up in the introduction and just talks about how it is acceptable in our society to be angry and to be stressed out and to be upset about what happens to us, and that we allow that character flaw to exist because it's just kind of culturally acceptable to pitch a fit or to be upset. And what it is a lack of contentment. And that contentment has to be learned. We have to apply ourselves and we have to work at it. And that if we don't learn the lessons, then when the test comes and we fail it, that we can be very confident that we will see this again. And she points in the introduction to Philippians 4, verse 11 through 13. Many of y'all will be familiar with verse 13 specifically, but it says, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Him being Christ. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking about it. And so Miss Wilson lays out all that has happened to Paul, all the things that happened in his life, and how he speaks about having to learn contentment, to practice it, to apply it. And so it just was amazing to hit play on this audiobook and to have my daughters there. And then just they zeroed in because they know the names of these authors. They are familiar with the different people. Some of my kids have met a lot of these people face to face. We've gone to different conferences and stuff. Our pastors will reference them and have gone through studies of the books before. They acknowledge the teaching that's coming from these names and these people as authoritative. And when it's tied back to the Word of God, and when the introduction literally is speaking exactly to the problem that my daughter's facing. So I'm able to not say, this is your dad here talking, this is what the deal is. I'm able to pull in a respected authority on the situation and say, don't take my word for it. Here is the great cloud of witnesses, if you will, that are all pointing you towards God's word and pointing you towards loving and obedience to our Heavenly Father. And then, you know, what I told the girls, I said, okay, here's the deal. Right now, daddy's, this is the plan. We're going to buy this book hard copy, and we're going to go to the downtown bookstore here. We're going to buy some notebooks. You guys get to pick them out. And daddy and you girls, we're going to do a regular date together where we're going through the hard copy of this book, and you have a notebook and you can write the things down. And the bookshop wasn't open yet, so we went ahead and went to the crate place and had breakfast together, and then went to the bookstore. We got back in the car, the girls with their new notebooks. They're super excited. They got to pick them out. And I went ahead and rewound the portion of the audiobook that we'd already listened to and said, this is what your first entry is going to be, girls. And they transcribed the Bessie Wilson's, Nancy Wilson's mother-in-law's definition for contentment being a deep and abiding satisfaction with the will of God. And so I've had many opportunities since that date to look my daughters in the eye when they started to lose control and say, are you learning contentment right now? Are you passing the test? Are you demonstrating a deep and abiding satisfaction with the will of God? And that being said, just because this came from a book written for women, the Word of God is fruitful in my life, and having this author point me to that. I mean, I'm literally listening to this book and contentment, and I'm growing in my faith as I'm leading and attempting to lead my daughters towards a more righteous and holy lifestyle. And that's the benefit of being taking responsibility for your home, is also realizing that you need to change, that maybe some of this lack of contentment is your children manifesting or acting out with less maturity your own sins that you harbor and that you continue to allow to exist in your household. So we've talked about this before, being responsible for yourself first and having dominion over self, body, soul, and spirit flows outward into how you have dominion over your home and how you interact with your church and your local community. So this is not a new thing for Life on Target podcast listeners, but specifically applying it to daughters and understanding that you have to take responsibility for that. You don't get to say to your wife, oh, you know, you handle it. I'm going to go do the man thing and earn the bread. Yep, you're going to do that too, but you need to be responsible and you need to take care of your daughters. That being said, I also ordered multiple copies of Future Men, and I don't know if that's going to end up being the best book for my sons or not, but I'm planning on taking my sons out and letting them get notebooks, probably not the notebooks with little locks and flowers all over them that my daughters elected to get, but sitting down with my sons as well and going through kind of topically what's going on and having a special time where I'm focusing on the boys, focusing on the girls, get away and to read through these things and to open up the Word of God and to study and to disciple my children. And I'm going to bring my six-year-old because I want him to feel like he's a part of it. And even though he's young and he can't read, he's going to have a copy. He's going to have a notebook. He's going to be sitting there with the boys and he's going to be called to a more mature way of life by participating in the way that he's able to and by hearing the things that are going on. And that's the benefit of being in a large family and being a younger sibling, essentially, that you're getting to see your older siblings walk through some of these challenges and you're getting to be a part of that instruction. And hopefully, I am in faith, I know the Lord is going to bring fruit from that, and that the way that it will manifest itself and the seeds that we'll plant will grow up into mature trees, fruit will bear fruit in my family's life. And I hope this has been encouraging to those of you that are out there that are maybe in the trenches with different things in your daughters, your sons. Find these resources. Step outside of what you know and you have repeated over and over to them. Put certain resources in front of them. Do the work to be a part of a church that where they're not, you know, feeling like you beat them over the head, but they're actually excited to hear what some of these authorities are saying because they're familiar with it, because you attend church, because you have these other resources. That is the benefit of community and church, like we talked about in previous episodes. And take responsibility for the boys and the girls alike and lead your household. As always, send this to one friend that maybe has some girls that he's struggling with, trying to figure out what to do, and have a good one.